in a world with a great deal of violence and suffering, both between people and within the minds of people, inwardly and interpersonally, so much difficulty. What is the appropriate response? One response is to build a practice center like this and put forth the mission of opening true compassion and wisdom. Is that the mission? This mission maybe is in accord with a bet that opening true compassion and wisdom would be a good response to the world of suffering. That compassion and wisdom might free all beings in this world so they can live in peace. So in this metropolitan area, there are 4 Zen centers and other Buddhist groups, and there's churches and synagogues and mosques. Maybe all these places want to open true compassion and wisdom for the welfare of this world. This week we've been meditating on good friendship, the friendship that the ancestors of this tradition have been practicing. A friendship which is also called wisdom, which has gone beyond wisdom. Good friendship is wisdom which goes beyond wisdom. Wisdom which doesn't even abide in wisdom. It realizes the truth and then leaps beyond it. This is the good friendship of the awakened ones. In this friendship, in this wisdom, we have a response to the world which is appropriate to something. It's appropriate to freeing beings so they can live in peace. It's to that point that we receive teachings of friendship. We receive teachings of friendship in friendship, and we receive teachings of wisdom in wisdom. And this reception is intimate. And also, this teaching is intimately entrusted to us. So the intimacy of the transmission of the entrustment of the teaching is also the same as this friendship, as this wisdom. So the response of the enlightened ancestors and the response of the current practitioners is to be intimate with the world of suffering. To be intimate with aging, old age, sickness, and death, to be intimate with fear and violence and injustice, to be intimate with cruelty and confusion. In this intimacy with all these painful phenomena, the teaching is entrusted and beings are liberated. In the intimacy with all phenomena, pleasant ones and unpleasant ones, in that intimacy, the wisdom is entrusted, is transmitted, is realized. And this wisdom has the function or the power to liberate beings from clinging and therefore liberate beings from the suffering that comes with clinging. The good friend listens to the cries of the world. The response of the good friend to the cries of the world is to listen. And then to train the listening into intimate listening. And when the listening is intimate, the listener hears the true teaching. And in hearing the true teaching, beings are liberated. Not just the listener, but everyone. One listener who listens intimately hears the deep, perfect wisdom, and that hearing liberates all beings. But it's possible that the person standing next to that intimate listener does not realize that they have been liberated by that vision, by that hearing. But they have.
I think some people are having a hard time listening because there's no amplification. So I'm just noticing. So
should I try to speak louder? Should I start over?
Always.
I should start over. Here we go.
Always.
Always?
Always start over.
Okay, here we go.
Take two.
Do you say take two? Take two. As many of you know, for the morning liturgy at this center and many Zen centers around the world, around America, Europe, and Asia, one of the regularly recited teachings is called the Heart of Wisdom, the Great Heart of Wisdom Beyond Wisdom, or the Great Wisdom Going Beyond Wisdom Heart Scripture. And in that scripture, it says that the enlightening being who listens to the cries of the world, when practicing deeply, the wisdom gone beyond wisdom, clearly saw that all phenomena have no basis for grasping. And seeing this relieves or relieved all suffering and distress. A vision, a wisdom vision, this vision liberates all beings and distress. And this one who's listening and who trained her listening into intimate listening was that vision. But as I just said a moment ago, it's possible that someone would be standing right next to her and not realize that vision, which is saving her. So that the one who has entered the vision, who has realized intimacy with the cries of the world, that one maybe turns a little bit towards the neighbor and in friendship relates in a way to open this person to this wisdom, which they have not been open to. So they don't realize freedom in their closed, in being closed to the wisdom, even though it's right around us all the time and is saving us right now. If we're closed to it, we don't realize it. Those who have realized it have come to open us to it by their intimacy with us, by their friendship. And they endeavor joyfully to be intimate with us, to practice it over and over, to be welcome us and be ethical with us and patient with us until that warm, intimate friendship is responded to by us in opening to the teaching of wisdom. No matter how we appear to the practitioner who has entered wisdom, they practice intimacy with our appearances. And in intimacy with our appearances, they don't know who we are. They have stories about us that we appear this way or that way. But in intimacy, they're not sure these stories are who we are. And they're not. And so they just keep offering us this intimate wisdom until we open. And then when we open, they continue to demonstrate it. To demonstrate intimacy with us, and also to demonstrate how they're intimate with everybody else and how they're intimate with everything. They're intimate with kindness. They're intimate with cruelty. They want to teach intimacy with everything, because if people learn this intimacy with everything, the wisdom will be realized and everything will be liberated. In the intimacy, they give the gift of their presence, they give the gift of their intimacy, they give the gift of their friendship. Or in the intimacy, we give the gift of our friendship, we give the gift of our intimacy by being generous, careful, patient, diligent, concentrated, and when we're intimate, we give wisdom too. We're giving friendship, and we're not completely sure what it is. We give friendship, but we don't try to control the friendship. We give friendship, but we don't try to control our friends. We give friendship intimately, and we realize that there's no basis in our friends for any grasping. And we keep giving it in this way. We listen to our friends, and we train our listening until when we hear the cries of our friends, in that hearing, there is just the heard. We observe all the suffering beings. We look at them. We observe them. And in what we see, there's just the seeing. When we first start listening, we may not be intimate. Our listening may not be trained. And it may sound like somebody over there is crying, or somebody over there is kind, or somebody over there is cruel. And we are over here listening. But by training our listening with these compassion practices, we train our listening into an intimacy where in what is heard, there is just the heard, and there's nobody in addition to the sound. In what is seen, there is just the seen, and there's nothing in addition to that seen. And in that intimacy, we will not be with that sound. Or I will not be with that sound. I will not identify with that sound. In intimacy, the practitioner will not be with the cry, with the cruelty, with the kindness. And in that intimacy, in that not with anything, just everything, then there will be no in that thing. There will be no in that sound. I will not be in that sound. There will just be the sound. And when there's no one in the sound, then there's no here or there or in between. And this is liberation from suffering.
Without
messing with anything, but doing the great work of training into intimacy with the current opportunity, and then the next current opportunity. So we listen. We train the listening into intimacy, and then we hear the truth in the cry. And hearing the truth in the cry, which we did not hear when we first started listening, but after being intimate with our listening, we hear the truth. And when we hear the truth, that hearing liberates all beings. When we first look at the world of living beings, we may not be intimate. There may be a here and a there, and an in between. But as we train more and more intimately with more and more of the appropriate type of friendship, a friendship which does not own the friends, a friendship which is intimate and uncontrolling, which is generous to the friend, whatever they are, and generous to enemies. It's a friendship which is equally generous to friends and enemies, equally intimate with friends and enemies, and realizing equally no here or there or in between. So hearing or seeing the same intimacy and the same no here or there or in between. And when we think of something, the same. Whatever we think of, whatever mental cognitions we have, in the mental cognition, there's just the mental cognition. In the fear, there's just the fear. And then there's no with the fear or in the fear, and no here or there or in between with the fear. So we don't mess with the fear, the confusion, the cruelty, the sounds, the smells. We become intimate with them. Messing with them can be quite a bit of work, but it's not recommended in this friendship. This friendship is not messing with your own thoughts, your own body, and not messing with other people's thoughts. It's becoming intimate with your own thoughts and becoming intimate with your impression and perception of others. And by becoming intimate with your perception of others, you become free of your perception of others and become intimate with others. But you start with your perception of others. And then you become free of your perception of others. And then you realize intimacy with the actual others who are not your perception. You are not, you may be happy to hear, my perception of you. If I stop perceiving, you don't disappear. But I do perceive you, and you do perceive me. And so we can be friends to those perceptions, and through friendship become intimate with them and realize true friendship and true liberation. Listen, train the listening, hear, and liberate by that hearing of the truth. Look, train the looking, see the Dharma, and in that vision, liberate. Smell, train the smelling. Train that smelling into intimacy and smell the Dharma. Touch. Touch. And train the touching into intimately touching. And then touch the Dharma. Touch the truth. And in touching the truth, liberate all beings. In the lovely new bathrooms of this center, outside, there's a part of a painting of some monks going into the bath. Some male monks, modestly clothed, going into the bath. And that's a picture from a scripture where the teacher is talking to the students, and the students are monks who are devoted to liberating beings from suffering, monk bodhisattvas. And the teacher is saying, you know, through what media did you realize liberation? And one of the monks, one of the bodhisattvas, was already something of a teacher, and he had either 15 or 16 companions. So these 16, and his name was Bhadrapala Bodhisattva. So Bhadrapala Bodhisattva said to the teacher, the Buddha, for me, it was touching through which I entered intimacy, through which I touched the Dharma through touch. Some other ones say, I entered through hearing. Some other ones said, I entered through smelling. Some others say, I entered through seeing. And some others said, I entered through tasting. And some others, I entered through thinking. But this one, I thought I'd choose because I just happened to be on touching. And there's a picture of it over there. So this, the monks were going to the baths, and when Bhadrapala's skin, his touch organ, when it touched the water, he touched the water intimately. And he felt through his touch the truth, the true Dharma of touch, through touch. And that's how he entered into liberation, by touch. He had been practicing intimacy, and then when his skin touched the water, he realized it upon touching. One time I was at a monastery in the mountains of California, and a woman said to me, someone has just lost her husband died, and she asked me to talk to her about it. And she said, what should I say, what should I do? And I suggested, well, why don't you just sit with her and listen to her? And then she met with this other person, this other woman, and then she came back and told me, she said, I did what you told me. And it seemed to really help her calm down and be more at peace. Am I speaking loudly enough? And I said, oh. She said, yeah, I stayed close to her and didn't do anything. And I didn't say to her, but I thought, well, that's better than what I told you. So I've adopted her version of what I said as how to be intimate. Be close to everything and don't do anything. And if you can be close and not do anything, you will hear the true Dharma. You will see the true Dharma. The true Dharma will touch you. The true Dharma will be smelled, will be tasted, and will be thought of in a fresh way through this intimacy. This intimacy will give you a fresh version of whatever. A fresh version of this person, a fresh version of smell, fresh and true and liberating. And being close means not being far away. Being close means not turning away and also not touching. What about when you're touching? in the touching. There's just the touching. There's no touching the touching. And there's no turning away from the touching. You're not hesitating in the meeting. You're not getting excited. If you do hesitate, you miss that opportunity, but then you can not hesitate with the hesitation. In the intimacy with the sound, we're not fixed on any sense or idea of the sound. In the intimacy with our friend, we're not clinging to any friend. One of the ancient teachers in China, we call this ancient teacher the sixth ancestor of the tradition in China. And this sixth ancestor was from a family that was not very wealthy, and his father died, so he was supporting his mother and himself when he was a young person by collecting and selling firewood. One day he was walking through the marketplace selling firewood, and he walked by one of the booths in the marketplace, and in this booth I think was a fortune teller. And the fortune teller was reciting a scripture which is called the Diamond of Wisdom Gone Beyond. And he heard that sound, and he heard those words, and somehow I think he was able to be intimate with those words. And at a certain point the words were, an enlightening being gives life to a mind which doesn't abide in anything. And when he heard that, his mind opened to perfect wisdom, to wisdom beyond wisdom. So I imagine when he heard that sound, in that sound, there was just the sound. When he heard that word, in that word, there was just the word. He was intimate, so he understood what it means not to abide in anything. So this in intimacy, you don't abide in the intimacy. You don't in intimacy with a person, you don't abide in the person, or yourself, or the in-between. Somehow, some people said when they hear that story, they feel jealous that he just walked into the marketplace and woke up. But I think somehow his background was he was already practicing intimacy with the firewood and with the other sounds. And the time came for him to hear the teaching about the intimacy he was practicing. Or maybe not. Maybe he just heard that teaching and immediately he didn't abide in anything. And he woke up from the world of abiding. And then follows the rest of his life as a formal student of that teaching. And he became the sixth ancestor of the tradition. And then people came to him, just like he went to his... After he met this fortune teller, he said, what is that that you're chanting? And the fortune teller told him. And then the fortune teller said, and if there's a teacher of this scripture, if you want to go deeper, if you want to deepen this awakening, You could go study a teacher who is a really good friend who uses this scripture. And so he did go see the teacher, and he became that teacher's successor. That teacher was the fifth ancestor. So he became the sixth. And then he taught, and people came to see him, to be friends with him. And one of the people who came was named, in Chinese, Nanyue Huairong. So Huairong came to see him, and the sixth ancestor says, "Where are you from?" And he says, "I'm from Mount Sung." And the sixth ancestor said, "What is it that has thus come?" And he's playing on a word there. At the beginning of this meeting, we chanted, is it, "I vow to something, the Tathagata is something." What is it? The Tathagata is, how do you say it?
Unfold the truth.
I vow to unfold the truth of the Tathagata's. I vow to unfold the meaning of the Tathagata's truth.
There you go.
By the way, another translation is, I vow to taste the Tathagata's truth. And Tathagata is an epithet for Buddha, and Buddha is an epithet for good friend. And good friend is an epithet for Tathagata, and so on. And Tathagata means thus come, or thus gone. So the monk comes to meet the teacher, and the teacher says, "What is it? What is Tathagata? What is thus coming? What is Buddha? But also, what is this meeting? What is your coming? Who are you? Who are you? What is Buddha? What's friendship? What's up, man?" What is Buddha? What is the Tathagata? What's happening? And the monk is, like the sixth ancestor, he's already on the ball. And so he says, "To say it's this," and I parentheses or brackets, "or that," close brackets, "to say it's this misses the point." What is friendship? To say it's this misses the point. Let me miss the point. This is friendship. So this is friendship. I don't really know if that's true. Do I want this to be friendship? Yes, I do. Do you know what friendship is? Well, not really. I mean, I want to practice it, but I haven't been able to find it yet. And I haven't been able to actually find not friendship either. But I'm not trying, I don't want to practice not friendship. But I want to be friends with not friendship. I want to be intimate with not friendship. That's the friendship I want to practice. But I don't know what intimacy with not friendship is. And I don't know what intimacy with friendship is. But I still want to practice it. And these ancestors, they said they wanted to practice it too. So here they are, wanting to practice. Thus comes, even though they don't know what thus comes is. So the ancestor says, "What is it that thus comes?" And the student says, "To say it's this misses the point. Or to point at it misses the point. To point at it misses the point." How about to point at something else? And so then after he says to point at it, to say this is it, misses the point, then the ancestor says, "Well, then is there no practice and enlightenment?" is there no, if you can't, you know, the teacher could also said, when his new friend came, he could have said, what's friendship? To say it's this misses the point. What is intimacy? To say it's this misses the point. So, he says, what is Buddha? What is enlightenment? What is practice? And he says, to say it's this misses the point. So then the teacher says, well, is there no enlightenment and no practice? Is there no friendship? Is there no intimacy? I don't say, that's elaborating, right? He just said, well, is there no practice and realization? And the visiting monk says, I don't say there's no practice and realization. I don't say there's no friendship. I don't say there's no intimacy. I just say it cannot be defiled by this and that. And I'm not going to get into that. And the happy ancestor says, just this intimacy, just this non-defilement, this not pointing, just this not pointing, just this not grasping for the Buddha, not grasping for friendship, just this is what all the Buddhas protect and intimately transmit. It's not just this nothing. It's not that there's no Buddha. It's not that there's no enlightenment and practice of enlightenment. And it's not that there is. That's not the issue. The issue is transmitting this intimacy. And this intimacy, which doesn't point this is what the Buddhas are intimately transmitting in order to liberate beings from pointing and not pointing. Another major point to make is that one of our ancestors said that in the intimate entrustment of the teaching, or I should say, the intimate entrustment of the teaching of suchness is affirmation. And another teacher says, the Buddhas are intimately entrusting the teaching of suchness. Not the teaching of this or that, the teaching of intimacy. And in that intimate trustment, you now have it. You have it now. Let me remind you again, you now have this intimate entrustment. And you have it now too. Now you have it. So what I'm talking about, well, I don't know if it was clear, but I meant it as an affirmation. All of this teaching is an affirmation of this intimate transmission, of this intimate entrustment. Now you have it. So please take care of it by being friendly to this intimate entrustment. And please don't point at it. And if you do point at it, I'm not going to point at you. I'm not going to turn you into the Buddha police. Oh, look, here's some cough drops. May I put them in my pocket? Is this a gift for me? May I drink this tea? May I? May I not? Is it peppermint?
It's herbal.
It's herbal. Is there anything, do you have any appropriate response?
Question, so when you're saying pointing or not pointing, abiding or not abiding, you're basically saying attachment, not attached to what is...
Abiding is, is attaching to, yeah. And we may not think, you know, when we hear the sound of a bird, you may not think that you're attached to it. But the teaching is gently suggesting to you that when we hear the bird, if there's a here and a there and an in between, there may be some attachment. We may feel like I got the sound of the ear of the bird. But in the intimacy of listening to the bird, there's just a sound, and there's no attachment. So attachment is a superficial understanding of our life. Deep understanding is nothing's offering any opportunity for it, so this is like, what do you call it? It's a free country, so go ahead and think you can grasp things, but there's no basis for that grasping. You may think friendship is, you know, something you can get a hold of. You can think that, but there's no basis for getting a hold of friendship. Friendship offers no basis for grasping it or abiding in it. So we're friendly to ourselves and others when we still are not intimate. And when we're still not intimate, we are at risk, or we tend to grasp. We tend to abide when we're not intimate because there seems to be here, so we seem to abide here, and then some other people seem to be abiding there. In our superficial practice of intimacy, the intimacy is always there, but we have to train ourselves in order to realize it. That's the practice of intimacy. The practice of intimacy realizes the intimacy, which is true. The practice of friendship realizes the friendship. The practice of the truth realizes the truth. The practice of being a human realizes being a human. Or you might say true human, but anyway, you're not really a human unless you also practice it. You're missing part of being a human somehow if you don't work out on that. Yes?
Would you say that the practice, you're separating something, calling it practice, and realizing as two different things, a sort of pointing, they be the same?
Practicing in what?
Realizing, yeah. You're just talking about
practicing and realizing.
Practice to realize as a goal.
Yeah.
Like so, practice, yeah. So that one day I'll realize. And that's sort of a separation.
Yeah, it sounds like that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And maybe that practice is the same.
You're right. There's no separation. But it may sound like it. And since there's no separation, you better do both. But it's not like one's doing related to the other. That it just, if you've got practice without realization, you're missing out on something.
So and if you've got practicing.
And if you practice and you're doing realization, you should understand that practice is not at all separate. There's no realization separate from the practice. But if you think there's realization without the practice, like somebody's walking around, hey, I got realization, and I actually don't need practice anymore, this is not a correct realization. This is an immature understanding of realization. Realization is always dragging practice with it. And practice also has realization with it. So unless you practice, you don't understand realization always has practice with it. They're never separate, but somehow we have to work. We're not in the Garden of Eden anymore, we have to work. So getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden, we think practice and realization are separate, or we think that realization could exist by itself. In the Garden of Eden, we don't believe that. And therefore, we don't have to know anything about it. We just enjoy it. Yes?
And on the other hand, one could make the mistake of thinking I'm practicing and I'm not realizing. Right?
One could think that. And one could think I am not practicing. Oh, no. One could think I am practicing and not realizing.
Right. Like I'm practicing, I'm not getting it, or I'm practicing and maybe someday I'll get it.
Yeah, so you could call that a mistake, but I don't think it's so much a mistake. I think the real mistake is not to be intimate with that thought. Because if you're intimate with the thought, I'm practicing but not realizing, you realize that there's no separation. So, or you could say, I'm practicing and I am realizing. Well, I wouldn't say that thought is a mistake. I would just say, that's just a thought. The thought is not realization until you're intimate with it. So, I am practicing, but I'm not realizing. The practice is to be friendly with that thought. I'm realizing, but actually I don't practice anymore. I'm just walking around in realization. And my walking is not practice. I'm not practicing at walking anymore. I know how. Okay. Well, that's okay. You can talk like that. It's kind of cute. But are you intimate with it? Are you, are you friends with that? So that, I think I got realization and I don't need practice, but I'm so intimate with that, I don't believe that. I'm just a funny guy. And so on. You could, all the different variations. I got practice without realization. I got practice with realization. I got practice, I got realization. All those different patterns are just thinking. And they're all opportunities for friendship. And in the friendship, in the intimacy, we don't believe any of them. Thank you for your comment. Is that enough for today? Yes.
So following up on that, there's also the thought that, like, if I'm distracted during meditation, I might think, oh, I wasn't practicing there. And that's not right either, right?
That thought is just a thought. I'm not saying it's not right. It's just a thought. Thoughts are basically not exactly right. But let's just say anyway, you have that thought. Mm-hmm. And before you move on from that thought to that's not right, let's just work with that thought. If you're intimate with the thought, I'm distracted, okay? That's the liberation of all suffering. If you have if you say, well, I'm liberated from all suffering, but I still actually have another thought now, which was, which was, Fred, that wasn't a very good thought. And that's another thought, which I'm not going to argue about. I'm just saying, if you're intimate with the second thought, liberation from suffering again. It's the friendship with the thought, I'm doing really well, that counts. It's the friendship with the thought, I'm below average, but in Minnesota, you're not below average. Right? So that's wrong. But intimacy with the wrong thought, I'm a Minnesotan boy below average. I know that's not true, but I got it. And intimacy with that, that's what Buddhas are transmitting. If you're intimate with the thought, I'm below average, in that intimacy, the true Dharma has been transmitted to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking the question and receiving the response and responding to the question, to the response, and so on. May you continue. Is that enough for this morning? It appears that we could conclude this meeting and move on to the next one. Thank you very much for your listening and your looking and your smelling and so on.
May our intention equally penetrate every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way.
Beings are numberless, I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to Our boundless.